We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. My name's Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is behind the iPad. And our guest this morning is Sister Karen Johnson.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. Very glad to be here.
Good to have you. I'm excited about your topic this morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook broadcast, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Gateway Church here in Elk City. If you would like to be put on the book blessing wheel for the month of May, all you have to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. Our book for this month is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams, with a foreword by Zig Ziglar. I think I covered it all. Did I get it, Monica? Would you like to pray to start us out,
Karen? Sure. Heavenly Father, we just yield and submit and surrender to you, the Holy Spirit, your power, your grace, your mercy, Father, and your healing touch on those who desperately need that. We just ask that the Holy Spirit, we release the angelic host to draw them in, to click on and to hear the program, because it's so important to go forward in this hour, Father, as warriors, and to pray with all our might for the freedom of those held captive. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the freedom in Christ, and that you offer liberty, Father, to the captive. And you let those who've been in prison, no matter what kind of prison, it can be a physical body prison, it can be a mental prison, it can be an emotional prison, Father, or it can be the real deal, the hardcore prisons that have been established throughout our country. Father, we just wish and pray and hope that you move mightily across our country with revival. Continue to use Duncan Blackwell and other pastors to speak truth and the salvation message. And Father, let them minister. Let them not ignore the Holy Spirit's unction when somebody needs restoration. Let them lay hands on, not to be afraid of laying hands on people or touching people, letting them know that we are part of the kingdom of God, that Christ is in us, and we are true Christians. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I like your topic, your title today, Flip the Negative to the Positive.
Yes, and it's interesting. I was reading an article about I don't usually read psychiatry or psychologists, but this guy's happened to be a real strong Christian. And he had been praying and praying and praying because he'd been inundated with people who have operating in automatic negative thoughts that they didn't even know they were doing. And if you are one of those people, ask God to put a prayer warrior or person in your life who can tell you that, oops, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. You might take that to prayer. And that happened to me many years ago, and I was astounded at how many thoughts were worrying around my mind, including suicide and just forget it, walk away, it's too hard. The enemy sure wants to take us out. And but these are, he ended up calling this ant therapy with his people that came, because he said, how in the world am I ever going to break through? Because they were kind of weak Christians that were coming to him, or maybe not even Christians at all. But God gave him a really interesting, lines up with Romans 12, to renew your mind. So the ant therapy, that he said there were 9 species that rob and steal your joy, your happiness. And know that if something is stealing from you, what does the enemy do? He robs, steals, and destroys. Mm-hmm. So that is the first red flag. Wait a minute. Get thee behind me, Satan. And I have, in the busyness of life or everyday thinking and stuff, sometimes you even forget to do that. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the road, the holy highway with the Lord, you still can slip up and think, mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot that scripture. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes that's really not easy to do in your flesh. So anyway, he's been giving his patients how to kill the ants, the automatic negative thoughts. And he got this back in the 90s, and he was having a hard day, and he was in a crisis with a patient. And then he found an ant infestation in his kitchen. And he got out the spray, and he was cleaning it up, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit told him, just like you have an infestation in your kitchen, so do your patient's brains are infested. And I thought that was a really good way to look at that. And with negative thoughts that are robbing them of their joy and their victory and stealing their happiness. So next day he got a can of ant spray, sprayed it, used it as a visual aid with his patients. And diligently ever since, it's helped the patients eradicate the ants. And so I'm asking you to think about eradicating your ants. And I've been applying this to myself, sharing it with my husband and other people that, that is a negative thought. We don't want to go there. And it's, Mother's Day weekend coming up. And so on television this morning, there was so much joy and happiness and celebrating their mothers, and I know not everybody had a great mother, or so a lot of people may have been abandoned or hurt really bad by their mothers. And I had to work hard to arise above that myself. So I know that sometimes it's not exactly a happy time, but the negative thoughts I've learned to cast down and remember the good things. And so that is a victory for me, and I know it's possible. But so anyway, his clinic is called the Amen Clinic. And he has been teaching these principles. So the first principle is, every time you have a thought, your brain releases chemicals. That is how our brains work. You have a thought, your brain releases chemicals, and electrical transmission goes across your brain, and you become aware of what you're thinking. Thoughts are real, and they have direct impact on how you feel and how you behave. Okay, so if you are entertaining something and allowing it to settle and make a nest in the brain, then you're going to deal with that probably for a very long time. The second one is, every time you have a mad thought or an unkind thought, a sad thought, or a cranky thought, your brain releases negative chemicals that make your brain feel bad. Think about the last time you were mad. How did you feel physically? When most people are mad, their muscles get tense, their heart beats faster, their hands start to sweat, and they may even begin to feel a little dizzy. Your body reacts to every negative thought you have. Okay, so and number three, every time you have a good thought, a happy thought, a hopeful thought, or a kind thought, Your brain releases chemicals that make your body feel good. Think about the last time you had a really happy thought. How did you feel inside your body? When most people are happy, their muscles relax, their heart beat and breathing slow down, and your body also reacts to your good thoughts. I thought that was really good because so many people fighting anxiety.
Yes. It's rampant.
Yeah. And there's a breathing technique, too, that kind of helps you deal with those emotions. Number four, our thoughts are very powerful. They can make your mind and body feel good, or they can make you feel bad. Every cell in your body is affected by every thought you have. That is really good, because that is why when people get emotionally upset, they often develop physical symptoms, such as headaches or stomach aches. And, you know, if you've ever been around someone who's entertained negative thoughts all their life, they usually have a root of bitterness, mm-hmm. which is usually gives them an illness, a serious mm-hmm. illness. So, and it's so entrenched, it's just like a giant barren tree in them. They can't, with it's fruitless, they can't seem to deal with it. You know, it's really, really sad. And I've had the, but you have to almost take them back to ground zero, confess their faith, start all over, and work through forgiveness. Because forgiveness is the key to dealing with bitterness. So number five is thoughts lie. They lie a lot. But it is your unquestioned or uninvestigated thoughts that make you sad, mad, nervous, out of control. Unfortunately, if you never challenge your thoughts, you always believe them. Yeah. The negative thoughts invade your mind like ants at a picnic. One negative thought will, like one ant at a picnic, is not a big deal. Two or three negative thoughts, like two or three ants at a picnic, become more irritating. And 10 or 20 negative thoughts can really cause real problems. And I was, 30-some years ago, I was there. I mean, I could not, I'd go on a spin, and I was so out of control. And then I would eat and stuff. And eat, you know, and it was just a vicious cycle. And so many of people who are overweight are usually because they let their minds control them in a negative way. And if you're in a negative situation or have negative relationships that you can't fix, the frustration level is huge. And somewhere you have to die to yourself so it doesn't affect you along the way. You know, you just say, well, Lord, I have to give it to you. I have to lay it to your at your feet. I can't. It's not mine to have. I give it back to you. So number six is you can train your thoughts to be positive and hopeful, or you can just allow them to be negative and upset. So once you learn about your thoughts, you can choose to think good thoughts and feel good, or you can choose to think bad thoughts and feel lousy. Ergo, people go on antidepressant medication. Mm-hmm. That's right, it's up to you. Research has shown that positive emotions, especially the sense of awe, can reduce inflammation. You can learn how to change your thoughts and change the way you feel. There's a tremendous, you know, with COVID, we were talking about COVID earlier and arthritis and different things. And my whole family was riddled with inflammation. And it was because they were always angry about something or wanting justice, you know, unfairness or whatever in the world. And I think the enemy has our whole country stirred up right now, and it's really sad to see what's happening. And but on the other hand, I know people are getting saved, and there's a whole new generation coming along who's on fire for God, and it was so exciting to see the youth at revival and stuff like that, and you just know God's in control. And did we drop the ball? Did we not pray enough? Did we not, you know, we were almost convinced, my generation was convinced to be silent, you know, and we talked about that in our church the other day, and the silence really gave the enemy a lot of ground. And it's not a time to be silent anymore. We have to speak up for what is right, and take every opportunity to speak up, and do it in love. See, you've got to do it in love, and really trust God in it after you've prayed. So there's 9 different types of ants. And I'll try to go slow enough that you can jot down, and I can leave a copy of this with them here so that they can, if you want a copy of this, then you can call into the radio station and get it. Okay, the first one is all or nothing thinking. Thoughts that things are all good or all bad. That's the top of the list. Number 2... always thinking in words like always, never, no one, everyone, every time, everything. And you hear that, you can hear that every day, probably 10 times a day or more. Mm-hmm. Depends on how many people you're around. Mm-hmm. Those words, always thinking in the words like always, never, no one, everyone, everything, every time. So those are those. Number 3 is focusing on the negative. Only seeing the bad in the situation. Only seeing the bad in a situation. And I was, interesting enough, I was talking to someone the other day, and it was one of those impromptu things, and she just looked at me and she said, "You're going to say something to me, aren't you?" And I said, "Flip it." Just flip what you're saying. Flip it. And actually, she was really dealing with her husband, who's extremely negative. And she said, "I am so exhausted from dealing with the negativity." She said, "I just want to put a bucket over my head." But I said, well, in your mind, flip the thought. If he says something negative, make it positive and say it back to him. You know? And that would be an encouraging for him to see it a different way, for one thing. So I'm so warm. This must be really an important message. No, I think it's the Holy Spirit. I think it's the fire. I don't know. I'm burning up. But you're not sweating.
I'm not generally hot.
Okay.
I'm having a hot flash.
Oh, I'm past that.
I'm starting that.
Okay, number 4 is fortune telling. Predicting the worst possible outcome to a situation with little or no evidence for it. And, you know, the evangelical church, which I'm a part of, you know, but I had a red flag about all the conspiracies. I had a huge red flag. So I took it to prayer. And I said, "Lord, what is all this about?" And it was about to disgrace and dishonor God's people because they were suckered in. And believed a whole, it's like a nest of snakes. They believed all the spin and all the lies that were perpetuated. And that, of course, those people are being prosecuted right now. But it was really sad. And I was crying out to the Lord, "Well, give me a scripture so I can stand on it and tell others to wake up." Gave me that Isaiah 8, 12 through 18. Where is the Israelites were caught up in that as well. And he said, "Do not fear these lies, these conspirators, this stuff." Yeah. but trust the Almighty God. Fear God. And we had just almost made it idolatrous. And God said, no, don't go that direction, you know. But that's what's happening if your mind is not under the Word of God. You know, if you're not reading the Word and asking God for the answer in His Word. So it really exposed and revealed how weak the church is, in my mind, as far as discernment. So number four was fortune telling. Number five is mind reading. Yeah. Believing you know what another person is thinking, even though they haven't told you. I don't know that I've heard that lately, but, you know, I know what they're thinking. You know, have you ever had, I know what they're going. Okay, mind reading, believing you know what another person is thinking, even though they haven't told you. Okay, number six is thinking with your feelings. This is huge. Let the Word speak to you. Okay, so that's believing negative feelings without ever questioning them. And you talk about a discipline. That is a discipline. To, wait a minute. Why do I feel that way? What's happening? And believing, is it a negative feeling without ever questioning them? And I've seen it in our own adult kids. It's like, what's all this about? Where are you going? You know, slow down, you know, let's think about this, you know. And my husband's very good about it because, you know, he was trained as a leader for the Army, so he doesn't go by feelings. He literally wants a very logical, progressive thought pattern. Do not be ruled for your emotions. It's folly.
Right.
Okay. But that's why, I mean, there are a lot of people out there ruled by their emotions. And number seven, guilt beatings. Thinking in words like should, must, ought, or have to. I've heard those words a lot. And one time I was in a Bible study or something, instead of saying have to, it's get to. I get to do that. Well, there must be something in it. God must have something for me to learn or see, you know. It's like, okay. So the guilt beatings can be very hard, very difficult. Because it's a condemnation comes. And then you're weighted down and you're oppressed and you think, oh, how did I get here? So should, must, ought, or have to need to be kicked out of your brain. Number eight is labeling. Attaching a negative label to yourself or someone else. Instead of seeing, Ezra Randall taught me this one. He said, Karen, most people don't realize that we are, as Christians, supposed to project and declare what God wants them to be. Mm-hmm. And encourage that person to come out of that funk, out of that well, out of that hole, out of that muck and mire, to be this. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what they want. God wants them to be. He said, instead of agreeing with the enemy, see them transformed. See them changed. See them transfigured in the light of the gospel. And then going, boy, we don't hear that enough. We don't hear that enough. And because, I mean, I have one daughter that's on medication for mental illness. I have another one who's riddled with anxiety. But I don't want her to be, you know. I prayed with her years ago about fear, you know, and giving her that scripture to stand on about fear in Timothy. And just it's amazing to how important it is to stand against fear and don't let it take you onto a journey you don't want to go on. Blame is the ninth one. It's considered the red ant. Blaming someone else for the problems you have. Look in the mirror. Well, I mean, isn't that what a certain person, I mean, certain people that I know do that a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a transfer. It's And it's all their fault. And a lot of the courts are full of people who want to blame somebody else for their negligence or, what's all the shootings about, Lord? Why are they blaming other people? Why are they wanting to take revenge? What's going on in their head? What are they watching on YouTube? And they're also proving, the secular world is proving, the doctors and all that, how dangerous it is for a young person to be on have an iPhone or an iPad or play video games. It changes. They found out it does change your brain chemistry and circuitry. So we don't know what we have ahead of us, because everybody I see in a restaurant, whatever, give their children an iPhone to play on. You know, we may be at maximum tilt, I don't know, on people taking an easy way out instead of training the child to behave in a restaurant or teaching character or virtues or... Because that's hard. That's hard to do. It takes time. So how do you exercise this? Whenever you feel sad, mad, nervous, or out of control, write down your automatic negative thoughts. Label them and then kill them by talking back to them. Here are some ant-killing examples. Ant species of ant kill the ant. My wife never listens to me. Always thinking that's just not true. She often listens to me. Today she is just distracted. Probably has more on her plate. Why don't you ask her what's on her plate? How can you help her? You know. I'm guilty of several of these. I mean, it just happens. Yeah, and it is automatic. You don't even realize you've entertained the thought. The boss doesn't like me. Mind reading. I don't know what I don't know that for sure. Maybe she's just having a bad day. We had a daughter caught up in this, and she was convinced that her boss hated her. And then she confronted her boss, and she said, "What are you talking about? What? I think you're one of our great best employees." Why did you entertain that thought? What did I do to give you that indication? She said, I've never entertained that thought. I'm a failure. Labeling. Sometimes I fail, but many times I succeed. It is my husband's fault. Blame. I will look at my part of the problem and look for ways to make it better. Your thoughts matter. Learn to kill the ants. Train your thoughts to be positive. It will benefit your mind, your mood, and your body. And then he has a worksheet that for you to write down the thought, identify the ant, kill the ant. So what's your ant? What type of ant is it? Kill the ant by talking back to it. So yeah, it's a journal entry that you can do, a worksheet, by asking yourself several questions. And then there's five questions for brain health for godly thinking. Is it true? This is a rotary. They say this every week. Is it true? Is it worthy? Is it absolutely true with 100% certainty? So then the third question is, how do I feel when I believe this thought? And you really have to work on that, because I was in an eating program and they were saying trying to get in touch with how you feel when you're entertaining a thought. You're supposed to journal your thoughts. And it's amazing what comes out of the subconscious to deep inside your mind. Because you can end up doing pages on just one thought. Mm-hmm. How would I feel if I couldn't have this thought? You know? Turn the thought around to its exact opposite, then ask if the opposite of the thought is true, or even truer than the original thought. So that's what I call it. The Holy Spirit told me to practice flipping thoughts, and that's what I was doing. But I brought a couple of copies. Give you one and give her one so you can